Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
You know, I grew up as a guy that always wondered, like, what it was like to live through certain events in, like, recent history that our parents got to live through, things of that nature. Like, I was, you know, really curious to see what it would be like when, you know, Nixon was president and going through impeachment. And then I got to experience that twice, which was really cool. And now we've gotten to what is our generation's Vietnam, except like times three, essentially.
Yeah.
We're here.
Yeah. We're here. Congratulations, America. Cyclical. Like this is what we're doing. We've learned a lot of hard lessons.
I wouldn't say we've learned them, Jay.
Yeah. I was being very facetious.
Hard lessons, yeah. And then our grandkids generation will ruin it for our grandkids generation.
Is what we're yeah. Doing, no, so. I feel like right around, like, I'm 41, you're in your late 30s. I feel like right around 60 or so, we should be kicking off another war by our generation. And everyone's like, wait, what? We're doing this again? We have to do it. Like,
the war for the little remaining land that will still exist on the planet Earth.
Yes.
That's not underwater.
Yeah. So, yeah, right around in about 20 years. We'll
the water war, as it
were.
That will be done.
We'll have to look back at serious documentaries about it, you know, like that one documentary starring Kevin Costner about the future war.
who could have thought that would be prescient? That movie, that terrible movie, would be prescient in these times.
One, I could not have foreseen that. Two, how dare you? Don't you call that a bad movie? My stepdad loves that movie. Solely
ironically.
No, he loves that movie because he loves Mad Max, and it's just a bad Mad Max movie on water. Like,
gotcha.
That's it. He's like, I love basically a dystopian future, land, sea, air. You pick the location, I'm there.
Like, I liken that film to like my enjoyment of like Stargate, but I don't think that Stargate's a good movie. I enjoy Stargate despite the fact that it's a bad movie.
Yeah, no, Stargate's a good bad movie. But yeah, Waterworld, that'll be sadly relevant in a few years. So obviously Brad is correct. We have hit our own Vietnam literally with the double propeller chopper leaving, like the same shot. They just changed the background. We're obviously going to talk about Afghanistan right off the top. So let's just get right into it. Look, Afghanistan, like this article that I linked to in the docket, I think is important. Not so much for its content, but it's a BBC article. But they have one image in the lower third of the article, which shows Afghanistan like on July 9th, you know, like which parts of Afghanistan, which counties areas were controlled by the Taliban or controlled by the government, contested, which means like there's ongoing fighting between, you know, the government, American troops, and the Taliban, and which part was completely under Taliban control. Now, if you look at that map, most of the country is contested, right? Like that is clear. There's more yellow than anything else, but there's a lot of government control. Probably government control and Taliban control are pretty equal, right? Like full-on control is pretty equal.
Yeah.
But that was July 9th. August 15th, it is a sea of red, meaning Taliban control.
Now, to be fair, all that red is the rural areas and the yellow is actually the cities where people
no one lives there.
So even the like that's how I view all maps now, basically, is through that lens.
But it's probably not exactly wrong, right? Like, besides Kabul, like, there's not a lot of major cities in Afghanistan. Like, it's so.
I mean, Kandahar and you know,
right, which was government controlled.
Those are the two.
Like, so. Kabul, Kandahar are the major ones that anybody like who doesn't live in Afghanistan or knows the region very well, i.e., an educated American, right? Like,
yes,
you know, I would argue there's plenty of people wouldn't even know
which ones.
Kabul is.
Yeah, which ones were on season one of Jack Ryan?
Right, that, right.
Those are the ones I know.
So. Kabul, yeah, yeah, I definitely know that. Chester A. Arthur, yeah, that's how I... a lot of history up here through movies. So, yeah, like, the Taliban basically took over the entire country within a long weekend, right?
Yeah.
Look, I mean, a lot of people are... There's a lot of hand-wringing, and we'll get into, like, the sort of domestic political hand-wringing, right? Which is fucking interesting to me.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll get into that. But what I want to say just right off the top is, like, we talked about when Biden announced, and you can I'm sure you can go back and if you can find the episode, I don't know which episode number it is, but if you can find the episode where Biden announces that we are leaving Afghanistan, like, that's it. On that episode, I made a point that I think should be thought about again, which is when we leave, people are going to get killed. Like, it is going to be horrible for the people of Afghanistan. It's not going to go well. It's going to be horrible. Now, that's not some take of, like, let me tell you about foreign policy from America's standpoint, how it's failed and blah, blah, blah. No, it's from the perspective of you can't beat these guys because you're on their turf and they do guerrilla warfare and we don't do total warfare, right? Like, which is like kill everyone who opposes us. I don't care if they're a child, right? Like, we don't operate like that. I mean, not directly. Like,
well, depending. I mean, you're right though. Like, if we had decided to commit like a full scale assault on the Taliban, you know, many, many, many years ago, this shit would have been over in like a week. Like right. If we had actually gone like fucking boots on the ground,
like a full scale invasion,
like a full scale assault, then yeah, that would not have lasted long. But we weren't trying to do that because the war was not about that.
Right.
Really, it never was.
I mean, it was quote unquote payback for 9/11, and it was also nation building, right? Which is not you can't run a total war mindset and also nation building at the same time. But yeah. that aside, right? One of the things I said was Americans have to get used to the idea if we want to leave so bad, and leaving is not, like, from our perspective, I don't think is the wrong perspective, right? I think we've been there 20 years.
Well, let me interrupt you real quick before you make your point. Anyone that comes into this situation with a, like, definitive take on one side or the other, just to let you know, is wrong. Like that take is wrong. I don't care whether that take is, oh, we should stay or, oh, we should leave.
Agreed.
If you are fully committed to one side or the other, then you are wrong. Like this is not a situation with a perfect outcome, a happy ending, or that should be viewed without a significant amount of nuance attached to it. But you know, too often we have to paint with the broadest of brushes with scenarios like this, and people have to have a take, they have to have a side that they sit on, and we can't just realize that this is a fucked situation no matter how you slice it.
Right, and so. I 100% agree with you, right? Like, there is this notion that we should, you know, like, Americans are like, we got to get out. It's been long enough. We've spent enough money. God knows we've lost enough people. And a thing that we don't talk about enough is, like, we've killed a lot of Afghanis, right? Like, we have. And we've displaced hundreds of thousands of them, right? Like, which, you know, Quaz is kept, is part of the reason, like, Iran is not too pleased with us as well. Like, could you stop having people pour over our borders, like, every month, right? Like, they're also not pleased about that. Because they also are, like, they don't want a Taliban problem over there either. Like,
yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of here. So, but my larger point here is that Americans, with the argument that we have to go, also has to have the same – has to put on the other side of their mind, you have to be okay with the horrendous shit you're about to hear about. You have to be, right? Like, and that doesn't mean you don't care, right? That's not my point. I'm sure that could be, like manipulated, but that's not my point. Of course you should care, right? Like, as a human being, you should care that these people, especially women, are going to suffer horrendously under the Taliban. But – the Republican perspective was, well, then we just stay forever. But that's not realistic, right? So you have to, like you said, you cannot come at this argument without any level of nuance. That's ridiculous, right? To me, yeah. saying Biden failed by look what's happened, this is the worst. It doesn't matter if it was Biden or Trump or Obama or Bush. Any of them, if they had left, would have been the exact same outcome, right? Like yeah. when Trump announced that he was pulling all troops out of Afghanistan, you know, and again, we'll get into it. The Republican Party was like, "Ah, we support it." Yeah. By the way, and Democrats also don't shit on that guy, like for once, because it's legit. It was the same thing would have happened,
and it would have happened 6 months ago,
right?
Also, if he had run re-election, like this would have happened back in fucking March,
right? He was like ready to go.
And it would have been instant. Or as instant as he could have made it, I'm sure the career people would have, slowed that shit down in a hurry. But it would have been an instant as he could have made it, and it probably would have. I mean, who knows if it would have been worse? I feel like it might have been worse.
Like perhaps it would have been, but it would have been at least just as bad.
Right.
Right. Like there is no scenario where it was better than this.
Yeah.
There's just not like
and again not a good scenario at all.
No, it's
like,
not
like no matter what's gonna happen. Yeah, it's fucked. Like it's to the point where the real argument was why should we have gone in the first place? Like that's the question that nobody is asking.
Yeah, that is correct.
Nobody. I mean, I know we're gonna get into like the domestic side of the coverage, but literally like they talking about this on cable news. No one's talking about like George Bush wasn't mentioned.
Yeah, I got a real problem with that,
which is insane,
right?
Because he was like that's like not talking about LBJ if you're going to talk about Vietnam,
right?
Like it wasn't just Nixon. Like there was a lot that went into what was going on there. So
turns out,
yeah, it's like we didn't just magically appear on there. And again, for all of the folks out there that are very anti-interventionist. This is also the result of that as well. Like
that's correct.
People hate the fact that we're the world police, but we have the biggest police force. So when you have the biggest force and you're involved in all the dealings of all the countries, then your police force is going to get spread around as much as it possibly can. Like and without it, this is what happens.
So. I mean, look, man, I get it, right? I 100% understand the sentiment of watching people in Afghanistan suffer and it being horrendous. Like I understand that. I don't even disagree with it. When I watched that, I could not finish that footage of people trying to get on that plane and like plummeting to their death. Like I could not watch that shit. Like it's just not for me. Right. I can't watch people like dying in videos. I'm just not interested in that. Like if it's a movie, sure. Just kill them all. Who cares? But it's reality and it's horrible. But that being said, like, what did you think was going to happen?
Right.
We never had an exit plan. Either side, by the way, right? Like, we never had an exit plan. And whatever exit plan you did have, like any shred of an idea that you could have possibly had, doesn't make sense. It just simply doesn't make sense. What are you going to do? Hey, we're going to leave on this date. We're not going to tell everybody. We're going to bounce on a Monday. Like, no, dude, they're going to notice you're leaving.
Right. And what did you think when you left that, like, the Taliban was like, oh, well, the Americans are gone, so everything's fucking hunky-dory. Let's all hug and shake hands and stop all the fighting. Like, no. Like, they were trying to wrestle control of the country away from the Afghani government. Like, that's and without the – the people that were keeping them from doing that, getting involved, that's exactly what's going to fucking happen.
And they did. So this idea that it could have been anything but this, and that somehow, like, I'm not trying to cape for Joe Biden. Like, I'm really not. But I will defend him on this. Dude, this is his war that he inherited from four other presidents.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. He's the fourth. No,
and really, like to an extent, those presidents inherited that war from Reagan Bush as well, because this shit all kicked off because of what happened during the Gulf War.
Right. Like, you can't pretend that that's not. Yeah, this is from the 80s, dude. Yeah. This is literally an issue that has existed our entire lives. And I'm old. Okay. Like, it has literally existed since I was in elementary school. Cause I remember that shit. Like, I remember us talking about it in school. And so it's this very idea of, like, this very idea that it is somehow Biden's fault is nonsense. It's nonsense.
Yep.
Like, you don't get to keep passing the buck to the next guy. One, you don't get to create it, Republicans in the 80s, creating this headache, passing the buck. It goes quiet for a while. Your boy brings it right back up, even worse. Pass the buck. And then, like a fucking hot potato, the guy who goes, yeah, all right, we're done with this. You're like, no, it's your fault.
Right.
Like, no, man, that's not how this shit works. But the problem is, nuance is dead, right? Especially when it comes to, like, news media, and how this will be discussed. Because you're right. How is George W. Bush not being brought up in this?
At all. Like that, that's the thing that's driving, like, there's a lot of things that are fucking driving me mad with the situation and how it's being covered specifically. That is easily the most maddening. Like, I saw it a bunch on Twitter. Like, the fact it's amazing that we've somehow, like, Trump was so fucking Trump, and it's been so far of a distance from when it extended that we've managed to memory hole George W. Bush completely. Like, yep. Like, the erasure of George Bush's involvement in the problems that we have today. And Dick Cheney. I mean, for fuck's sake, Liz Cheney was on the fucking Sunday shows as essentially like a pundit, and they never asked her about her fucking dad, who was one of the main catalysts for all this shit kicking off in the first place. Like,
if not the main.
Yeah. If you were a responsible host and a competent interviewer, are you not asking the progeny of Dick Cheney about, like, you know, it's kind of your dad's fault that we're over here in the first place. What do you think about that? Like, can you defend the fact that we were, you know, that we are here, we got here to begin with?
Right. I don't get it. I just do not understand how you could not ask her. Like, what's your dad think of this?
And to Biden's credit, like, you mentioned, like, the constant buck passing, and Obama's administration did that too, by the way.
Yeah,
like,
no,
they definitely passed the buck.
Yeah,
they definitely passed the buck from, you know, from the Bush administration. Like, it's their fault we're here in the first place. Well, what are you gonna do to get out of it? Drone strikes, lots of drone strikes.
Yeah.
Biden, to his credit, was basically like, yeah, like, I'll take all the criticism rather than pass this along to
the fifth
president to have to deal with it.
Look, again, I'm very interested to see, and I have not looked because I value my my working brain. I would love to see the people who said when he was on stage during that debate that he would never get out of Afghanistan. He's full of shit. He's lying, just like all the other ones. I wonder what they're tweeting today, because it would be really super interesting to find out.
Oh, you don't have to go too far, because a lot of old takes have been drug up, or not even that old takes have been drug up in the wake of what a lot of folks, especially on the right, have been commenting, and on the left for that matter as well. Like, the people who have been railing for years.
On the left, by the way.
Meant on the left? Okay. Yeah, that I would like to see those like 2012, 2013 takes from
he's
from
never going to do it. He's never.
Well, not even he's never going to do it. Like, all the people that had that were just like during the Obama, like, consider Obama a failed president
because he didn't leave,
because he couldn't get out of Afghanistan. I would be curious to see what their takes are today. And if you're being critical of how we're getting ourselves out, like, you, to your point, what the fuck did you expect to happen?
Right.
If you were like, oh, well, not like this, then you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You're just performing punditry on Twitter at that point.
Right. Like, what do you mean not like this? This was the only solution, dude. That's why Vietnam ended the way it did. You could not stay longer. You could not throw more soldiers on the bonfire. You could not spend more money to change the outcome. So at a certain point, you just go, we got to go.
Yeah.
Oh, but there's going to be helicopters getting knocked over. And it's going to be these really bad press and all this other stuff. Yeah, that's cool. I understand that. It's really fucked up and I'm not excited about it. But you know what? Tomorrow, there won't be any more troops dying that are American on Vietnamese soil. And that's the only thing.
Wow, Freudian slip on your part there.
No, I'm talking about Vietnam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm talking about Vietnam. Yeah. I mean, look, you could substitute in Afghanistan if you want to. No, but I was talking about Vietnam. Like, reason, right? It doesn't matter what those optics are and everything else. At the end of the day, that's what they wanted. They wanted to be done with it.
Well, and it's ironic because the last truly galvanizing, like, American event in this country was 9/11. Like, that's the last time that I can remember people just identifying themselves as Americans and shedding partisanship. And the irony is that 20 years later, here we are, we're ending this campaign that's been going on for, again, more than half of my life, a little less than half of your life.
Yeah.
And people should be approaching this, and they're not, but people should be approaching this as a uniquely, this is an American issue. It's not a Democratic issue. It's not a Republican issue. It's not a partisan problem.
Right.
This is a problem with how our country as a whole generally reacts to situations and again, getting involved into conflicts that we probably shouldn't have been there in the first place, which is why you draw things back to Vietnam. We had a really fucked up reason for wanting to come over here because we were just looking for some payback.
Oh yeah.
Essentially, we were looking for
somebody got to die.
Yeah, we were looking to get our pound of flesh from, you know, the people that were suspected of attacking our country. And so we fucking threw reason and common sense and thought out the window. And it wasn't Republicans that did that. It was fucking everybody except for Barbara Lee. Essentially, that
one that person, black woman. Look, I mean,
and as fate has it, she's still around, of course, because
thank God,
you know,
we need you, Barbara Lee. So, you know, the other part to this, that is, you know, that will forever be interesting is here we are, you know, leaving this war, you know, like you said, Biden does the, you know, the buck stops with me type of thing. I don't know if people realize how monumental this truly is, right? Like, I don't think people do. You know, it's like, oh, we're leaving. Oh, it's terrible and it's the worst and da da da. Yeah, it's all of those things. Like, it's awful and everything else. But this is a turning point in American history, right? Like, the ending of this war is a big fucking deal. It's a huge deal. I remember when 9/11 happened. I remember where I was. I remember when we went to Afghanistan. I remember when we went to Iraq. Like, I remember shock and awe. I remember all of that shit, right? Like, that is permanently burned into my mind. For 20 years, we have fought this war. It's time to come home. We're done. Like, it's okay. But I really don't think people understand how monumental that is. But they should. Well, they should really think about it.
One of the reasons that people are coming to difficulty, like, gripping this situation is because we're just not fucking wired to accept American failure.
No, we're not.
And that's one of the reasons why we can't just be – a lot of us can't be honest about the facts of this war. Look, we fucked up.
Yeah.
We fucked up. Like we fucked up being there in the first place. We fucked up how it's been handled through, you know, 3+ presidential administrations. And it's – you got to take the L. You got to fucking take the L and go from there. There's still people that can't acknowledge that we fucked up with Vietnam 50 years later.
No.
Like, there's still people that can't bring themselves because, again, and not to get off on this tangent, but it's why this whole GOP idea of teaching patriotic American exceptionalism in schools is fucking ridiculous. Because
it hurts us in the long.
History requires, like, the reason that Germany was able to rebound from the Reich is because they were honest with themselves about their history.
Right.
And they taught themselves, yeah, we fucked up hardcore by bringing this guy into power. It was devastating to the fucking continent and to the world. We can never let this happen again.
Right.
And like I said, with this, we just went to show that the lessons that we learned from Vietnam weren't actually learned at all. As long as Americans have a bloodlust to fucking to fucking go eye for an eye with somebody, it's going to fucking happen.
So I do want to – you're 100% right. I don't disagree with any of that. The one thing I do want to go back you made a comment that 9/11 was the last time we were all together, right? Mm-hmm. You're not wrong, but I'd like to add an addendum to that. Mm-hmm. 9/11 is the last time that we were all together. It is also literally the exact moment where we fracture.
Yeah.
Right? Because in those days after 9/11, and I mean, look, I know people like, look, you should not lionize fucking George W. Bush or like memory hole, all the horrible shit he did, because there's a lot and you should absolutely remember that. But you have to remember and you have to be honest. That moment where that dude stood on the fucking rubble with the fucking, bullhorn, it was like, hey, we're gonna fight back. And like, this isn't about religion. This is, you know, this is about terrorism and stuff like that. That moment we were all together. And when the cracks started to show of like bigotry from the right and painting everyone who was brown with this, mm-hmm. the same brush and all this other shit. Once that happened and that fracture happened, it broke this country fundamentally, right? Because mm-hmm. it was a thing. It was ironically, it was our Vietnam, right? Where Vietnam fractured this country for decades, where it was liberals coming, conservatives saying like, look, man, these guys had to go over there and fight a war and they just had to do it. And it was what it was. And liberals saying they're calling them baby killers and all this other shit, right? Like that was a real fucking huge mistake that liberals did. It was, mm-hmm. right? Like the hippie movement and shit. Like, they're soldiers. They are trained to do a job and they are sent there, right? Like, you don't call them baby killers. Like, that's a bad fucking move, right? It's a bad move. You shit on the administration who sends them there under false pretenses. You go after them, right? Like, liberals have learned that, right? Like, we don't attack mm-hmm. the soldiers on that, right? Thankfully, we learned that. But that fractured the country, right? It did, between liberal America and conservative America. You talk to older folks, Vietnam is the fucking line for them. Like, fuck those people or fuck those people, depending on what side you're on, right? And all of that was fractured and fractured and fractured for decades. 9/11 happened. We came together. But those lines had never truly been fixed. And the second they weren't, the second after Bush gave that fucking speech, and then it was like, we rolling tanks, son. And everyone's like, whoa, okay, I get it. And then it was like, we're rolling tanks or we're rolling planes and shit in Iraq. It was over. Boom. All of that Vietnam liberals versus conservative shit came right back, right? So mm-hmm. it's – we have never cured that one fucking generational fucking divide, which is – I don't want you going to war to kill fucking innocent people. This is fucked up. Don't do this. However it came out, calling baby killers, terrible fucking idea. But their core message of like, we should not be in Vietnam was correct. Mm-hmm. Conservatives were like, you got to fight because you got to fight. And they weren't right. And you're right. That bloodlust, the kicking ass and taking names, Americanism and American exceptionalism and all that other stuff has all been boiled down to that fracture during that war. It absolutely is.
Well, and it hasn't been like the kickoffs for the wars were the same as well. Like, we went into Vietnam because of this constant fear of fucking communism sweeping across Asia.
Right.
And we did the same thing with Afghanistan. Like, oh, like there's going to be terrorists all over this fucking country. We've got to go stamp this shit out before we get attacked again.
Yeah.
Like that's ultimately what it led to.
Yeah. So. No, you're not wrong.
But again, and that's why like really the biggest failure in this whole fucking charade was Congress. Yes. And they were in a tough position because it was right after 9/11 and emotions were still running very high and defying the White House at that point would have been a very difficult thing to do with Bush riding at like 90%.
No, dude, you couldn't. Yeah. Look, I know people give Congress a hard time, and you should, right? Like, they made a bad choice. It was real hard to go against a president at 90% approval rating, dude. That's crazy. It is,
but that's why you were there.
That's why you're there.
You're there absolutely. To have that debate. You're there to have that discussion.
100%. And
the fact that this whole fucking conflict got essentially rubber stamped into a bill that was the pretext for literally everything that we've done in the Middle East for the last 20 years is the biggest failure.
Right.
Like, you know, the fucking White House was going to be raring to fucking go. Like, that's why you need Congress to pump the brakes a little bit.
Yep.
But no, but they didn't. Like I said, Barbara Lee was literally the only one that was like,
nah, B.
That was everyone else was the fucking third base coach, like waving him home. Like, let's go, baby. Like, let's fucking do this.
Woo! All right! Home run! Like, wait, what? Kill them all! Wait, whoa. What are you saying?
Right, and then we realized we fucked up, like, 2 years later when they're like, oh, let's go to Iraq and get Saddam. And they're like, but this has nothing to do with this. And they're like, yeah, but you signed this thing that said we could do it.
Like, no.
It's all 9/11, baby.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's
go fuck them up. Like, that's not... All right.
Yeah.
I didn't sign up for that. So, look, man, look, I just retweeted something, and I think it's absolutely perfect. Quote, every major American catastrophe in the last 20 years can be traced directly back to not electing a Democrat, with a picture of Al Gore during the debate.
It's true.
It's fucking true. It's true. That stolen election has done more damage to this country than anything else. He would not have reacted in the way that Bush did. Like, people are like, 9/11 would have never happened on his watch. Maybe, right? Like, he would have listened to Clinton when Clinton was like, dude, like, this is a kind of a serious thing. Like, look out for this. Like, he would have listened. But
I mean, he also might have listened to the warning signs.
Turns out he would have read the fucking daily briefings, right? Yeah. But let's say that he didn't. Or let's say they pulled it off anyway. His reaction, Gore was never going to be that type of president, right? He would have been like, God damn it, I was trying to take the glaciers and... Like, I was a glacier man. That's what I was going to be concentrating on. But we wouldn't be in the climate change issues that we were in now. He would have pushed hard for that, right? Like, that's his whole fucking thing. We would have definitely had internet in the rural parts of the country. I mean, he invented it, for God's sake. Like, the country, not that it would have been, like, perfect or some utopian nonsense, but it would have been on a completely different trajectory now if you had gotten Al Gore in as president. You did, but they stole it from him. I think that tweet is accurate. All right, next up, GOP quickly pretends that they never supported the Afghanistan withdrawal under Trump. this is hilarious.
This is insane to me, because it's not just fucking Trump. Like it's not just Trump's whole thing. So the story here is that the RNC had a webpage up from 2020, from when the Trump administration signed a peace agreement with the Taliban. Oh, that's right. Did you forget about that?
Yeah, it turns out.
Did you forget about Mike Pompeo?
That dumb
posing
fuck.
With Taliban leadership?
Hey, guys. Right in the fucking picture. Wearing a mask.
And so they've taken that website and they've taken it down. In the wake of Biden withdrawing, so that people can't, because everything disappears once you delete it off the internet.
Yes, Jack. Of course.
So that people can't hit them with the fact that you wanted to do this. Like, you ran on this.
Like, what's hilarious is, like, you delete it off your website. You know we're going to ask you about it, right? Like, it's not our website. That doesn't count.
And you wanted to do it before this. Like you wanted to do this 6 months ago.
Yeah. It's fine, Brad. Don't worry about it. That's old. And, that's the old them.
And you guys legitimized the Taliban. Now, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have negotiated with the Taliban, because it's kind of hard to try to bring a peaceful solution in that region without, you know, talking to one of the two sides. So I'm not necessarily faulting them for that.
No, but they didn't, dude. They didn't include the Afghanistan government in those talks.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, all right, we could have a conversation with the Taliban and the Afghanistan government, but not just one.
They invited the Taliban to Camp fucking David, yeah. If you recall correctly.
I'll never forget. I'll get that tattooed as a tramp stamp before I die. Like, no, I will never forget that, which was insane. It was insane. And everyone's like, yeah, that seems not cool. Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine if Obama was like, yeah, no big deal, guys. I got the Taliban coming in to Camp David. Like, we're going to roast some fucking marshmallows and sing campfire songs. You cool with that?
Yeah. No, they would have lost their minds.
Yeah, the Trump's administration deal with the Taliban was they basically negotiated for American withdrawal as long as the Taliban promises not to breed more terrorists in Afghanistan. Please, pretty please, don't breed more terrorists.
Oh yeah, we got it.
And we will go ahead and make sure we get the fuck out of Dodge. Come May.
Get the fuck out of here. Look, man, it's yes, bullshit. Like, that's just such bullshit. But well, I love the goal. I just love the goal.
It's again. This is the thing that, like, the GOP is going to try to take the situation and rack up as many political points as they can. Oh yeah. And the thing that kills me is that their voters will just fucking buy this.
Oh, dude, this shit, hook, line, I've already sinker. Seen comments. Joe Biden, worst president ever. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, it's crazy.
I'm seeing it from fucking people on the right now. They're like, again, we don't have to go back in too far in your Twitter timelines. You didn't delete the tweets. Like, the tweets are still up we could go pull from last May when Trump was talking to the fucking Taliban, or when Mike Pompeo was talking to the Taliban, and your thoughts on that. Finally, someone's taken the initiative to do what should have been done years ago during the Obama administration, getting our troops out of Afghanistan. It took them 4 years to do it, but, you know, finally someone's taking the brave step, and now all of a sudden, like, we're like, Biden's fucking up.
Yeah,
because he's carrying out the thing that you guys wanted to do.
I mean, that's the greatness of the GOP, right? Don't you dare do the opposite of what we want to do. Okay, we're gonna do what you want to do. We're also against that.
all things are true always, simultaneously. Yes. Always.
Yes. Like,
it is Schrodinger's policy position.
Yeah.
Essentially.
is it left or right? Is it dead or alive? Yes, it is all of those things. Yeah. No, the GOP is garbage, man. But it's amazing. It's just simply amazing that you have the audacity to do something like that. I'm gonna switch gears here. I'm gonna move the next story down a little bit lower because I want to get mad first. as you do. So the federal government has decided that, like, fuck Florida, and more specifically, fuck Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis, we talked about last week, the world's biggest idiot. But he came out and was like, guys, if you try to have a mask mandate in your schools in Florida, I will take your funding and I will make sure that the school superintendents aren't funded, and I will also make sure people on the board are not funded, right? They won't get paid. Because I guess they're paid by the state. And we talked about how this was a bullshit. This is a completely bullshit empty threat. And it's just like, he could do this. Yeah. Could is doing all the lifting in that sentence. He's not going to. And even if he does, there seems to be a solution. I'm of two minds of this. One, I like the fuck you from Joe Biden on this, which is like, hey, look, if that ass clown, doesn't want to help you, Uncle Joey's right there. You can use the federal funding that I sent to you motherfuckers to pay your people, because this is all about COVID. Like, fuck this guy, right? And if you don't have the money, or the state won't release the money to you, fuck them. We'll deal with you directly, which is amazing, right? I like strength, like reasonable strength. That's a strong move, right? Like, that's a strong move. Why I'm of two minds is, if you enjoy this, I'm going to need people to remember it. because the Republicans are definitely going to do that when they're back in power, right? Where they fund a Republican shitty governor to do something fucked up that gets blocked otherwise.
And that's the thing, is that it is, again, it's Schrodinger's fucking policy. Like, the GOP can, in one sense, frame this as, oh, look, federal government overreach, bullying the poor states, not letting them make their own decisions.
Right.
And then, like you said, when something shitty comes along, like fucking throwing federal money at churches for some reason, or something stupid along those lines, like,
right,
they'll cite this as precedent.
Oh, 100%. Oh, remember when Joe Biden did it? And liberals will be like, this is outrageous. And I'll be like, yes, it's outrageous. And that's a stupid reason, because their reason is going to be dumb. And it makes no sense. But then I'll have to give the fucking annoying nuanced point, which is like, yeah, we kind of did that first, guys. Like, so look, I think it's a strong move. I'm okay. I'm still, even though I know down the road, Republicans will cite this as precedent to do some other shitty nonsense, like when it comes to gun reform or something like that, like they will figure out a way to turn this and kick us right in the pants with it. But I think it's the right move.
I think it's a moot point, because, like you said, this is not going to happen anyway. DeSantis is posturing, and even if he does try it, it's going to get fucking knocked down in court. I can almost guarantee.
I'm sure it will. But even if it doesn't,
right?
Well, what does it cost the federal government to pay superintendents of a school? Nothing. It costs them nothing. No. Who cares, right? So, but the fact that Ron DeSantis is setting himself up to go up against, to try to go up against the federal government, looks really good for him as a Republican. But when you find out the details of that, it's going to look crazy during a debate, right? Like, he's obviously going to run in 2024.
A debate with who, though? That's the question.
Well, like, okay. I look at it like this. If you're talking about Florida lost like 1,000 people over the last week, right, from coronavirus. They had like little – like 1,079, I think, deaths. If you're running for president – in 2024, if nothing worse than COVID has happened, knock on wood, and that is still a big conversation to be had about what you did during COVID, if you're running against a Larry Hogan, it's a problem, right? Because Larry Hogan can go, we saved fucking lives, dude. Like, however he wants to frame it, he didn't say you can't wear a mask. like the basic human shit, right? Like, and look, you could tout, as another Republican running against him, you could say, you failed so bad that a Democratic president had to go in and usurp your power.
Yeah, had to bail your ass
and
out.
And bail your ass out to save – because look, however people feel, and right, like there's a bunch of lunatics who are like, kids shouldn't wear a mask. Those people are fucking crazy, right? But they are in the smallest of minorities, right? They're just loud, but they're not the biggest minority. Standing on a stage telling people – that you kept kids safe when they are going to demonstrably be able to look at how many kids died in your state, where the other guy goes, yeah, I just let people wear masks because not letting them wear masks when my state was spiking would be irresponsible and we care about kids' health. That's a better argument. I don't care if you're a crazy person or not. Well,
I would agree with you, but that whole fucking party is insane.
Yeah, I mean,
like Ron DeSantis could lose, you know, 50,000 people between now and the 2024
like legitimately
primaries, and not only will he get reelected as governor of Florida, but he would probably still, like, if Trump wasn't running, he would probably still be the front runner in the GOP primary regardless
of how
poorly he mismanages this entire situation. And again, he's not doing it. That's the thing that kills me, is that this kind of ties into all of the overarching, like, science problems that face our country and world. Is that problems. Like, I mean, because climate change is the same fucking thing, right?
Right.
Like, people on the left want to take sensible precautions.
Yep.
To prevent shit from getting worse. We acknowledge that, like, hey, like, these aren't fucking band-aids that are gonna cure everything. It's not gonna stop the bleeding, but it will fucking slow it down considerably, and it's what we need to work towards progress-wise. And the end result is, if we're wrong, then less people will get the coronavirus. Like, that's the end result. If we're wrong, less people got sick. If we're wrong about climate change, we're better custodians of the earth. Like, that's the worst case scenario.
Right. Well, not according to Republicans. According to Republicans, we spend a lot of money. That's it.
We sure did.
That's it. That's literally, by the way, that's their argument, is that we're gonna waste a lot of money on the campaign of give a hoot, don't pollute. Basically, like, that's it. Like, hey, how about we not, like, make oceans rise and, like, drown our citizens? Ah, it's expensive.
And so that may be. But again, the Republican stance on these topics is let's just let the chips fall where they may. Yeah. And the end result of their being wrong is a lot of fucking people die.
It's the end of human civilization. Us is a giant owl putting trash into a trash can. Them is a Mad Max on water scenario. Like, yes. It is a water world.
So, like, that's the thing that kind of blows my mind. It's like you're banking a lot of chips on being right.
You're banking everything
on that. And you don't have anything to support the fact that you're right. You have
faith.
Theories.
Faith.
You have faith. Yeah. You have guesses, but you don't have facts. We have facts, or at least, you know, scientifically proven or research theory.
Yes.
That says that we're more likely to be right than you are.
No, that's a theory, Brad. Like, no. That's a theory. That's not a fact. That's a theory, bro.
Get your hands off this fucking government purse and let Jesus take the wheel. That's the fucking government.
Yes. Let Jesus take the wheel. Like, when you're driving and you just let go of the wheel, that's when you let Jesus take the wheel and you slam into a wall.
Well, look, I mean, I'm sure they think that when the sea levels rise, that, you know, whatever fucking figure that they promoted to their Jesus fucking person will just stand in front of the water and part the seas, and we'll just have walls of water that live around us, essentially.
Brad, you're an asshole. And I've said that on numerous occasions, and people, Brad's the nicest guy in the network. No, he's not. Brad, no one's going to part the seas. That's fucking nonsense. He's going to walk on water, Brad.
That's right. Moses was the one that parted the seas with the help of Jesus.
Yeah. Well, God, Brad. God.
Whatever. Tomato, tomato. You're right. They'll just build houses on the water. Like they won't even have to, like, float them or anything. Like, they'll just sit perfectly on the water.
Well, okay, according to Ben Shapiro, if the sea levels rise where you live, just sell your house.
Just sell your house. It's one, like, of the best quotes of all time.
To who, Ben?
Like that's the one that you have to fucking throw out anytime anyone gives a iota of praise to that fucking dwarf. Like, I just feel like this is the thing this dude said.
I love that clip. It's like, sell your house to who? Fucking Aquaman? Like, what are you talking about? Who's buying it, dude? Just sell your house. The intellectual right. He's a real thinker, this guy. All right. Look, let me get mad. I promised it. I've been thinking about it all week. Let me get upset.
Okay.
This country is so tremendously fucked under Republican rule in the States. I read a story that, and take it with a grain of salt, because I tend not to believe anybody who's writing about their personal experiences on Twitter, because I think people lie a lot, like all the time. Everything is a lie. But I'm going to take it, giant grains of salt, massive boulders of salt. This person said that they are an ICU doctor. And they were sort of going down the shit that they've seen over the last couple of weeks. And they said that they were, like, literally rubbing the head of a little girl who was 14, saying goodbye because she died of COVID, right? Just starting ninth grade, had these aspirations. I want to be a doctor when I grow up and all this other stuff. Died of COVID. Unvaccinated. She's of age that she could be vaccinated. But her parents decided that, you know, trust her immune system or whatever. So she died. And she was talking about a pregnant woman who was 26, I believe. And she was 15 weeks pregnant. And she refused to take the vaccine because she was told the misinformation that it caused miscarriages and infertility, which is not true. Incidentally, the CDC came out this week and said that pregnant women should take the vaccine because, like, the chances of you, if you contract COVID, it's I guess your body is in a much more vulnerable state, obviously, that your chances of it being so much worse than a woman who's not pregnant of your same age, they're like, you should take this. It's not going to cause you to have a fucking miscarriage, and it will protect you and your child. This woman died, 26, with and 15 weeks pregnant. I cannot express the level of fucking anger I had after reading that. Like, we have got to stop fucking around. We are sending kids into a fucking war zone with no mask mandates. This is insane, right? We are sending young people into this world with misinformation on purpose. Like, you know, like there are two distinct groups. There are people who are legitimately stupid and push these things that are incorrect information because they think they know what they're talking about and they don't. I don't like those people, but I don't hate those people, right? Like that is just a level of ignorance, and you should be really, really, really worry of people like that, and those people should be a lot smarter about understanding science and reports and studies and things like that. Then there's another group of people who are completely disingenuous and are telling lies that they know are lies for whatever reason, whether that is financial gain, whether that is like notoriety online. We found out that there's companies and like right-wing organizations that are literally trying to pay influencers to tell people not to take the vaccines. And then those influencers came out and were like, I'm not fucking saying that. That's fucking horrible. Like, I'm a piece of shit because I'm a YouTube star. But like, I'm not a bag of shit like Rand Paul. Like, come on, you know. And so those people kind of dimed them out, right? But that has been an ongoing campaign. We have to do better. We have to do better. We have to give a shit about people. We have to care. We cannot convince people who don't want to take the vaccine. We can't convince them, right? Like, but what you can do is if you're a governor or a mayor or a fucking person of any level of influence, you can be honest with these people and you can try to fight your damnedest to get this information out there. Like, there is an insane amount of people now getting vaccinated. The numbers are going through the roof because people are like, oh shit, this Delta variant is killing young people. Yeah, get fucking vaccinated for fuck's sake. Like, I'm so sick and tired of seeing these people. Like, look, I'm sure they're fine guys. I'm sure they're perfectly fine guys. They seem really cool. But like, Trey Anastasio and the rest of those ass clown hippies from fucking Phish, why are you throwing a major concert in fucking Jersey, dude, in Atlantic City? Why, dude? There was like, I don't know, like 60,000 people or whatever fucking there. Like, it's a new Phish concert. You're supposed to be the hippies, dude. You're supposed to be the guys who are like, hey, man, let's all live in peace and come together. But you're too busy anti-fucking logic and reason. Fuck you, dude. Fuck you forever. Right? You're getting people killed. The people who ran Lollapalooza. Fuck you, dude. Fuck you. All those bands who agreed to play to that shit. Fuck you. Eric Clapton. Oh, I'm not going to play at anything that tells people they can't come if they're not vaccinated. Fuck you, Eric Clapton. By the way, fuck you for many reasons. But fuck you now for this. Right? Like, the mayor of Chicago. Why did you allow that? You were fighting against COVID this whole time, but you wanted to jump back into the sense of normalcy. We're not out of this shit. Fuck you too. What are we doing? Ron DeSantis, fuck him personally, like super personally. Fucking Tate Reeves in Mississippi, governor of Mississippi, who referred to kids getting COVID as the sniffles. Kids are fucking dying, man. 50% of the kids or 50% of the cases in, I believe it was in Florida, were kids. I talked about this last week. They're kids. What are we doing? Of the 1,000 people who died in Florida last week, 2 of them were kids. You think those numbers are going to stay that fucking low? Why? School's opening now. Is it like Ron DeSantis is like, hey, we're not going to do mandates. Meanwhile, we'll talk about this. this. What time is it? All right. Well, I got 6 minutes. We'll talk about somebody else in this is perfect timing in 5 minutes. But like, we have to fucking take this seriously. Like, yeah. You cannot look at the shit that's happening in Afghanistan and say, this is a fucking travesty. This is a tragedy. Look at all these people dying. How can we prevent this shit? How are you the Republican Party saying that? And it's like, we have 630,000 fucking people who have died in this country under your fucking watch. And you won't do anything, but you won't even say, put this thing over your face. But you're talking about like, hey, why don't we go save Afghanistan? You don't give a shit about those people, and you don't give a shit about the people here either. So I will never understand voting for these fucking ass clowns in the Republican Party. They're getting people fucking killed. And I will never understand people on the right who are like, yeah, this is fine. I will never understand people on the left who go, they're both the same. How? Look at the fucking country. Look what's lit up like a goddamn Christmas tree. It's all the fucking southern states from the goddamn Civil War. It's the same people, dude. Because those dumb fucking morons in power there, not the people themselves, some of the people there, but not all the people there, but the people in power are just generationally and intellectually just as dumb as the fucking traitors were in the Civil War. They're the same fucking people, right? So, no, I am not fucking okay with what is going on. It's horrible, and everyone should be pissed about it. There's all these articles, well, people who are vaccinated are really upset with the unvaccinated. Upset? That's the best word you could come up with? How about fucking mad? I saw Tom Hanks's moron son, Chet Hanks, and he's like, yeah, you know, I don't think people should take this. He did this like whole sarcastic thing. He's like, no, don't. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, you shouldn't take the vaccine. Yada, yada, yada. Dude, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Like, just shut up. Your parents were two of the fucking first people we found out, major people who had it, right? That shit don't affect you? That you could have lost your mom and dad?
So here's where you and I differ. You have much more compassion than I do about this stuff. The people that I feel for are the people who get sick who can't be vaccinated because either they're under 12 or they have some other issue that requires that. Look, common sense is a gift that was given to us by the universe as human beings. And you're buying fucking, you know, Trident toothpaste or chewing Trident gum because 4 out of 5 dentists say that it's fucking good to go.
Right.
When if 97% or 98% of doctors say, yeah, this is safe, and so the CDC says, oh, this is safe, and you're still like, I don't know. Mike, I don't know about these vaccines. Then fucking reap what you sow.
Look,
like I couldn't possibly care less to anybody who fucking finds themselves in a hospital and is repenting on their deathbed because I should have taken the vaccine. Yeah, you fucking should have.
Look. My sympathy for those people when I see those stories is on E. Right, it's on E. Like I'm just like that's sad for your family. Like
and again, I feel very bad for anyone that did get vaccinated that still gets afflicted with the disease probably because of these assholes in a lot of sense. So that's as far as my sympathy extends. Like if you are dumb enough to listen to Chet Hanks as your fucking source for whether or not you should take the fucking COVID vaccine, if you're stupid enough to believe that your children will be safe in fucking schools when they can't get vaccinated and you're like, fuck wearing a mask because wearing a piece of cloth on my face is, you know, my right to do that's way more important than my right to be alive. Like if that's your fucking stance, then I'll see you on the other side. You can smile at me from down below when you're fucking chilling out, you know.
Yeah, look at this idiot. He's in make believe hell.
I'll be the dude in the meme that's fucking stunting all like the peace sign over your fucking grave.
It's fucked
I'm
up, serious.
I'm done with this shit, man. Look, I'm fucking done with
look,
it.
Look, I hear you. I largely don't disagree with you. Yeah. But I will say this. This is where my sympathy actually does live. I'm a black man. And I watch my people are suffering at an alarming rate. There was a stat that only 27 or 37%, I think it was 37%, of young black people in New York City are vaccinated, which was the fucking hotbed of the goddamn coronavirus a year ago. And I don't like seeing my people suffer. It's fucking horrible. It doesn't make me like, I don't get any I told you so kind of thing out of that. At the same time, it's so infuriating to me that I want to grab someone and shake them until they stop moving. Like, I'm so annoyed by it, right?
well, see, to me, this proves your hypothesis that white identity doesn't exist, because I'm looking at other white people that are kicking rocks, be like, fuck off,
yeah,
see ya.
I don't give a fuck.
Like, get the fuck out of here. I'm sympathetic to that view, and I understand the history of medicine and black people in this country, and how it continues today, for that matter. I mean, how black people, black women especially, are treated in medical situations. But again,
this stance, by the way, from Brad is ironic, because he was saying the exact opposite before we hit record. It was wild. He was like, good, I'm super happy about it. I was like, wow, Brad, that's ridiculous.
But the thing that I saw a tweet today, and the tweet was very fucking ad lib and glib, but like, people on Twitter that are like, oh, I don't know what's in that vaccine, I'm not gonna put it in my body, are the same fucking asshole that'll pound like a Monster energy drink.
Bro, they got the new Baconator, man. I can't wait to eat it. What are you doing?
Come on, you've got vaccine. Every single fucking person walking around this country, not everybody, but most everybody in this country has a handful of vaccines in them already.
Yeah.
You've had them in there since fucking birth, or basically since birth. You couldn't go to school if you didn't have them.
That's correct.
What's one more on the fucking pile? I mean, seriously, like, yeah, it's been tested.
What's one more vaccine on foundations, Brad?
It's been tested. It's been approved. Oh, it's been fully approved. It's been fucking approved. Calm down.
Spoiler alert. When people say that, that's a bullshit excuse. They're not going to take it when it gets fully approved. They rush the approval. Hey, look, like, it's nonsense, right? So, like, I get very angry about that, because it's like, I hate watching my people suffer.
Well, here's what pisses me off about it, though. I've talked on this show many times, is that we have fucking lost the plot on what it truly means to be a society.
Yeah, no, that's 100%.
Like the fucking myth of American exceptionalism has seeped in so fucking hard on a significant portion of this country that they somehow believe, forget the fact that you have the right to do whatever the fuck you want.
Right.
You're being a fucking dick. Like you're being a dick. You're being a dick. You're being a dick by not fucking getting vaccinated, because you're putting everyone else around you more at risk.
It's absolutely true.
It's the same thing that fucking drives me nuts with guns. Well, I should be doing whatever gun I want. True. If you say so, whatever, like, that's, you know, foundation of the country. Who gives a shit? But the fact that you stick so hard to that fucking that rigid stance and don't allow for common sense reforms to enter the space is what leads to all these mass shootings happening. It's what leads to other people getting hurt.
Yep, absolutely.
But you don't give a shit, because it doesn't affect you, because you're fucking flying your Gadsden flag out the front of your fucking house, and you're like, oh, bro, like, I don't, no one's gonna tell me what to do. The government's, the man's not gonna tell. Fuck off. Fuck off. There is a price to living in a society.
That's it.
You want all the fucking great rah-rah bullshit that America provides you, but you're not willing to actually pay these societal costs to do it. And that's why the fucking right-wing assholes in this country, libertarians especially, but what is a libertarian but a conservative that wants marijuana legalization at this point the game? Yep. Like, well, you don't fucking want to be part of society. So if you don't want to be part of society, that's fine. Pack your shit up, put it in a fucking trailer, and go out in the woods in Montana and let me not have to fucking see your ass ever again.
Yep.
Live off the land like the people that you jerk off to every night used to 200 years ago, and get the fuck out of my face, and let the rest of us live in a fucking city, in a fucking community with people that don't have to worry about going to school and our kids getting shot or getting a fucking fucking virus that's easily stamped out if people just get out of their fucking heads.
Yep.
And think that they know better than the fucking people who research this shit. Get the fuck away from me. There's so many fucking there's so many unpopulated wooded areas in this country. Go the fuck out there. Like do your fucking, bring your guns with you. Shoot all the fucking deer you want and cook them over fire and live however the fuck you want to. And the government won't tell you what to do and you won't be on the grid. Oh shit. You like all the shit that fucking being in communities and cities provides? Well, then get with the fucking program.
I love that this actually made you mad, which is good. He's fired up. No, but you're right. You're right. Like, it's you live in a society. We're living in a society. Okay. Like George Costanza was right. Like, there are things that you give up, that sort of like absolute 100% rugged individualism. Like, it doesn't work. That's why libertarianism doesn't work.
Yeah. You know when it worked? It worked when this country had like a million people in it.
Right. Total. No, like it worked. Yeah, it worked when we had a million people and coonskin hats were all the rage.
Right, it worked when everyone lived 10 miles away from each other.
Right,
like that. That's when that shit fucking.
Nobody's gonna tell me what to do.
Work anymore?
Like, all right, Jim Bob. Like, literally, no one's coming. Like, it's fine. Yeah. You be alone. But that doesn't. That you're right. That doesn't work in reality. That doesn't work in the modern day. Like, look, if this country was even remotely as modern as it should be in 2021, right? Like, America should look like the fucking Jetsons. Like, if we didn't have people just like ripping and pulling us back and like trying to make sure we don't progress, right? If it was, we would have lost a lot of people during COVID. Like, that's just a fact, right? Like one, if the states were like, look, there's a mask mandate, you gotta wear a mask. Like, you coming out, you gotta wear a mask. Like, if it was a reasonably run country, all 50 states were run by reasonable people. I don't care if they're Republicans or Democrats at that point, just reasonable, right? Believes in science, just reasonable. You would have far less death, but we would have lost probably 100, maybe even 200,000 people. But not
I'd say we would have lost probably like 250,000.
Right. But not people. Over 600,000, right? Like,
right. That's literally less than half of what we've lost already. And by the way, we probably wouldn't be seeing the Delta variant.
That is
like
correct.
Raging right. As fucking hard as, right. As hard as
because the vast majority of people would have been vaccinated. Like, it's not
go to any country, go to Australia, go to New Zealand, go to any country that's taking this shit seriously.
Yep.
They're not living the way that we are right now.
No, New Zealand was out there fucking partying early.
Right. Because they're willing, when shit gets bad, to make the hard choices and everyone pulls themselves up by their bootstraps and makes sure that they're fucking doing right by their fellow man. Do lockdowns suck? Abso-fucking-lutely. But you know what they do? They stop the virus in their tracks because you're not fucking hanging out there, buddy. Letting that shit spread around.
Yep.
It's painful. It really fucking sucks for a week or two or three.
Oh, Democrats love lockdowns, Brad. Everyone knows that.
But then you don't have to fucking worry about it anymore.
I love that. That's my favorite thing. Dems love lockdowns. What? Dems love wearing masks. What? No, I don't. It sucks. I hate it. I have a beard. It's the worst. It's hot. What the fuck? Man, get out of here.
It's all deformed.
Yeah, you get the fucking beard fucking mask shelf, right? Like, nobody likes that. Yeah. You got it right now. Brad had on a beard a fucking mask earlier. I can tell. It's the worst. No, we don't like it. We don't enjoy it either. You dumb fucks. So yeah, look. We got to get it together, man. Like, we have to. We have to. Have to. Have to. It's absolutely well, insane.
But we can't because there's one fucking political party who has decided that if people kick the bucket, what are you going
to
do?
Well, Brad, that brings us to our next story. And we're past the hour mark. So I can talk about this the way I want to talk about it. As I wrote, Marjorie Taylor Greene opened her Neanderthal maw once again. I really am not a fan of Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't know if people know that.
Well, again, it turns out that we probably shouldn't elect people to Congress whose entire fucking bona fides to be in government is I'm a troll on Twitter.
Oh, I thought her whole thing was like, I do CrossFit and I've clearly done some sort of peds. That's why my head is that of a cavewoman's. But yeah, what you said is also true. Yeah. You know, she looks like a game woman.
Like, people are like, what about AOC? Yeah, AOC's volunteered on several campaigns and worked on the staffs of
and smart
folks.
And smart.
Yeah, also that's
like, yo, you cannot tell me you think Marjorie Taylor Greene and AOC are on the same level, like intellectually.
Oh, conservatives would. And in fact, they'd say that Marjorie Taylor Greene is smarter than AOC.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. I would love to meet those conservatives who think that. Because I bet, and this is just a guess of mine, they're one of two types. They're fucking liars, or they're as dumb as Marjorie Taylor Greene, which is a feat. Modern day Neanderthal, Marjorie Taylor Greene, our representative from Georgia, on Thursday waved off concerns over hospitals exceeding capacity due to COVID-19. During an interview with right-wing network Real America's Voice, why don't you just call it apple pie and fucking baseball? Fuck off. She says, quote, I've talked to local hospitals here in my district in here in my. Wow. Okay. I'm going to have a hard time reading this because she's dumb. I've talked to local hospitals here in my district in here in my state. Okay. Yeah. It's your district. We know it's in the state. You moron. Yes, the waiting rooms get full, but guess what? Waiting rooms are full of all kinds of things, not just COVID. But they're seeing about 30% of those numbers being COVID cases. Hey, 30% is a lot.
Like, it is.
By the way, I bet those numbers aren't even right. I bet maybe in your district where no one fucking lives, but why don't you go to other parts of Georgia? Right? But you probably don't care about those because those are where the blacks live. She further said that while the media, quote, tries to tell us that hospitals are slam-packed with COVID, that simply isn't the case. Everyone needs to go get back down to common sense and remember that, you know, we're human. We can't live forever. We're going to catch all kinds of diseases and illnesses and other viruses, and we get hurt sometimes. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Trademark for Micah. a Democrat saying, well, we all die sometime. Like, don't worry about it, guys. We all get diseases. It's not a big deal. Yeah, that's true. We all eventually die. Hey, why don't you go tell that the mother or the father of that 14-year-old kid? Well, we all die sometime. See how they take it.
Well, so if that's her take on stuff, like, let's let Marjorie Taylor Greene not take advantage of any of the safeguards that the government's put in place to help keep us safe. So, like, when she drives a car, like, she doesn't wear a seatbelt, right?
Yeah, we all die. Like, we die sometimes, right?
Yeah, we all die sometimes. Like, if you happen to just get ejected through the windshield, like, so be it. Like, it is what it is.
I mean, that wouldn't be the worst thing to happen to Marjorie Taylor Greene.
No, it'd probably be a really good thing to happen to the country.
Like, oh, that was a lovely surprise.
I know the FDA tells you that you shouldn't drink bleach, but look, we all die sometimes. Like, I hear it tastes great. Check it out, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
You know what? Spoiler alert, guys. Dr. Fauci, now working for the FDA, says do not drink bleach. Republicans refuse not to drink bleach. Don't Fauci up my bleach, says Republican Party. So I find this woman to be one of the dumbest people in Congress.
Well, and here's the other thing. So her initial point is idiotic anyway. She's like, oh, there's lots of reasons people go to the hospital. Yeah, that happens all the time anyway.
Yeah, that's not
so new. Hospitals, I don't know if you know this, are not built with a pandemic in mind. Like, it's not like when they build the hospitals and they design the hospital capacity, they're like, you know what? Let's make this 200% bigger than we need to on the off chance that a pandemic happens one day. And then we'll be really happy.
Once in multiple generations.
Right. Then we'll be really happy that we had all that extra space to have all these extra beds. We'll just dump a bunch of money down the drain. It's fine. So when you add a pandemic, on top of the other shit that is going on in hospitals all the time anyway. You have exacerbated the fucking hospital system.
That is correct.
And then when people need to go to the hospital for things that aren't COVID, because that's not going to stop happening, like people will still have fucking heart attacks and strokes and cancer and things of all that sort, even while COVID exists around us, you've now made it more difficult for people that actually do get COVID to get into the hospital because they're like, yeah, we still need beds for this other shit. And so meanwhile, like you have like cancer patients being forced to go home early
because
right. they need space for like, you know, COVID patients when they should be staying in the hospital, that kind of stuff. That's the kind of shit that's the knock on effect that her dumb brain is not able to see past like the giant tree that her nose is directly up against. Like she can't see past that tree and there's a giant forest behind it.
There's so many things on
the tree
right.
to worry about such things.
Meanwhile, in reality, in Georgia, right, that fucking blockhead, Ugh, invent wheel. It's a direct quote from Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't know if people know that. Meanwhile, in other parts of Georgia, Ware County, that's W-A-R-E, closes all 11 schools after, quote, a sharp increase in COVID-19 cases, right? This is in her state. They had, as of Friday, the school district had 76 students with positive cases who attended school during the exposure period and 679 students who had been quarantined out of the 5,900 total students in the district. Out of 950 school employees, 67 are currently positive with the virus and another 150 have been quarantined. So again, like it's not even just like, students dying or being hospitalized or having to go through this or just having long-term COVID issues and things like that are bad enough. But then you're also coupling on top of that staff who can die, get hospitalized for long periods of time and things like that, which if that happens, then you have less people to teach. Thus, you cannot have schools. So then kids aren't being educated either, right? Because look, I do put some blame on the Biden administration for pushing so hard to get kids back in school. Now, when they did, that was before the Delta variant. And then when that happened, they kept doubling down, which I think is a mistake. I think that's a bad fucking call.
I mean, I personally think that was more of a drive to get people vaccinated. Like I think sure. they were trying to dangle it as like a carrot on the end of a stick to some extent.
Yeah, but you don't dangle kids on a carrot though. Like you know, like on a end of a stick. Like that's a bad idea. Like I fundamentally like to me, and I live with an educator, right? But to me, I get the arguments of getting kids in school from a mental health perspective and like to stop so much abuse at home and things like that. Like I get all of those issues. And I support keeping kids in safe spots. Like I know some kids don't get meals unless they're at school, right? Like that, this is a real thing. At the same time, they shouldn't be back in school unless there's a fucking vaccine. There's just too many factors. And because now they're like, well, they were basing that on the previous outbreak. And it was like, well, it's not transferring in kids a lot. It's pretty low. The transmission rate's low. Everything's good. But the second you got into schools, it was like, boom, here's the Delta variant. And you had no way to pivot off of it. And what I hope is that enough kids, you know, enough school districts keep kids in masks to keep them safe. Mm-hmm. But these places like Louisiana and Mississippi and Florida, that are run by Republicans, you know, who are just like no mask, no mask, no mask. I don't see how the outcome is anything but disastrous for them.
Yeah. Well, and that's the bigger problem. Cause I think that getting kids back in school is a hard decision, but I think it's ultimately the right decision because I can tell you from personal experience, like, my child not being in school in a in-person setting for the past, you know, 15 months or however long it's been has been detrimental to his progress.
Sure.
And I'm sure that there are a lot of other kids that are in the same boat. And I'm nervous about it, obviously, but if all his teachers are vaccinated and they're really the only people that he's interacting with and his classmates and his classmates' parents are vaccinated, which I suppose I'll never know if that's the case or not. It's a hard decision, but in order for him to progress, like that's what he needs.
Yeah, of course.
But that does involve the schools and the governments doing, like you said, mandating masks. That's where the southern states are falling down. I don't think it's the getting kids to come back to school part of it. I think it's
It's a combination.
Right. I think it's more not incorporating mask mandates and also not requiring teachers to be vaccinated.
Crazy.
I know that there's a push for that right now.
Crazy.
And I know that I think it's like 90% of teachers in the country are vaccinated, which is good, but it needs to be 100%. And it needs to be, if you don't get vaccinated,
can't work
you're not coming to work.
Yeah. Look, I get it. I get like there was a whole thing, something about like New Orleans businesses were saying like, you have to be vaccinated or you have to have a negative test. No, we're done with this negative test bullshit. We're done with it. Like, get out of here. Because you can get a false positive, be asymptomatic, and spread that shit like wildfire. No. You have to be vaccinated. Oh, you're not vaccinated, but you want to go out and party? Tough shit. Like, sorry. You want to go see fish? Get vaccinated. Right? Like, it is what it is. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, that shouldn't – we need to stop this. Like, if you want to push people to get vaccinated, you gotta pull the trigger on that shit. You can't give people an out because people will inherently take the out. Like, look, the way that we're going to solve this or get us to a high level is jobs being like, you can't work here. That's it. You can't work here.
Oh, that'll change shit real
fast. Oh, I'm not – you can't work here. Oh, kind of need a paycheck though. Yeah. All that shit don't mean nothing if you ain't got no money. You gonna scream about mandates and shit on a street corner? Poor? Okay. How many all these tough guy conservatives are not gonna have jobs? All you guys who rail against poor people and how they just taking handouts, y'all gonna just stay home? Okay. I don't believe you.
Well, and Republicans are trying to make it so that I don't know if they're trying to do it federally or if they're trying to do it on a state level, but they're basically trying to make it so that people that leave their jobs because of a vaccine mandate are eligible to file for unemployment, which is insane to me.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Look, and I'm going to say something that might be a sore spot. You know, it's me. So like, let's get it on. I don't think there should be religious exemptions either. Nope. I don't. Here's why. If you have a job, can your job fire you for like not being in a religion? No. Can it fire you for being in a religion? No. But it can fire you if you decide to show up to work with no shoes and no shirt on. Like, it's got nothing to do with your religion. Like, where in the Christian Bible does it say you can't take a vaccine? Where? Thou shalt not taketh Moderna? No, that's not in the fucking book. It's not. The only religion I know of, like, off the top of my head, that
Jehovah's Witness.
Right. Like, because they're not even allowed to have, like, blood transfusions, which is crazy. But, like, whatever, man. That's on you. Like, I knew of a story of a guy whose wife let herself die because she would not take a blood transfusion giving birth to their child. Good luck with all that. No,
I really,
by the way, I would be like, do it. She can divorce me later. I'm not letting my wife die. Get the fuck out of here.
This is going to come as a shock to you, to the listeners of the show, who hear me rail against religion on a pretty much weekly basis. Now at this point, I really try not to shit on people's beliefs too much. I really try not to. It's only when their beliefs encroach.
Right. Into like you believe whatever you want to believe. I don't give a shit.
Right. But I feel like, and you can stop me if I'm wrong here, Jay, I feel like that basing the way that we live our lives now off of something that was crafted.
See, you can tell when Brad's being an asshole. Listen to the words he's using. Crafted.
A couple thousand years ago, based on what we knew a couple thousand years ago, might not be the smartest idea. I go back to one of the seminal recordings of our time, Chris Rock's 96 comedy special, where he talks about how it's kind of ridiculous that, like, there's certain religions that don't eat pork. He's like, and I get it. He's like, when they put that shit in place, a pork chop will kill you.
Yeah.
They didn't have refrigerators. They didn't, you know, like a pork chop would spoil. Like, you could fucking die from eating pork. But now a pork chop can save your life.
Right. It's delicious.
Like, why are we still fucking holding strong to this shit that, you know, someone decided 2000 years ago? They're like, ah, we don't have refrigerators. I don't even know what the fuck that is. So this meat probably shouldn't eat it.
Yeah. People got trichinosis
and done. Because it's going to spoil. But now technology has graced us. Nope. Not God, but science has graced us with all sorts of things that have made our lives much better.
Wow, Brad. Wow. Science has made your life better. Oh, interesting. Yeah,
shocking. I know.
It's a hell of a perspective.
So perhaps we can take some of these old views, figure out why the views exist, and then stop adhering to archaic traditions.
Maybe. I don't know, Brad.
And then perhaps we don't have to die in situations where we could easily be saved. I don't know.
Look, Brad.
Maybe I'm just talking stupid.
Yeah, look, well, you said it.
Maybe
I didn't.
I'm just talking stupid.
Look, you said it. I didn't. Those are your words.
Yeah, I'm the idiot.
I'm the fool.
For what he delivered.
What a moron.
I'm the doofus.
I guess I'll take this vaccine supported by science and research. Fauci, right? Like, no, you're right. Right. Like, I don't think it's, and that's not really even banging on religion, like, specifically, or any religion specifically. I just don't, I agree. Like,
oh, yeah. To be clear, I'm just banging on religion as a generality.
Right. Not just Christianity. All of them. But, like, I don't believe people when they say they have a religious mandate. Much like people's personal stories on Twitter. I don't believe you. I think most of you are lying. Like, what's the religious mandate? What is it? You should have to prove it. You got to point to a part in the book, dude. Like, you don't get to just be like, because it, religious exemption has become a go-to standard for people on the right. I don't want to do that. Religious exemption. We should make sure that insurance covers women's right to birth control. No, the Bible says, the Bible doesn't say anything about health insurance. It doesn't say anything about health insurance. No, it doesn't. It doesn't say nothing about condoms. It doesn't say anything about the pill. It doesn't say anything about an IUD. I guarantee. I'm so sure that the word or the letters IUD by themselves referring to that particular device are not in the Bible. I will bet $1 billion. I am so sure. Like, that's how I know. Condoms. I mean, not in the Bible.
Just wait until the Joel Osteen revision of the Bible comes
out. Thou shalt not use IUD. Also, send me $55.
Yes.
And you can't come in my church during a flood.
Thou Savior shall own multiple jets. Yeah, well, I mean, so that he can get closer to God.
Yeah.
On a daily basis.
God wanted me to talk to him in a G6. Like, really? Wow. God is dope.
It's the only way I can get to God.
Like, I can't get to him through prayer. What am I, a poor person? Get the fuck out of here. So, yeah, like, I don't buy it. I need to see proof. You got to hit me with a passage in the book, man. Like, I need to know, where does it say it in the Christian Bible? Where does it say it in the Quran? Where does it say it, you know, in the Torah? Like, where does it say it? Where does it say it? Oh, that's just my belief. Well, I believe I should have fucking superpowers and $1 billion. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Get the fuck out of here. No, not buying it, yo. Not buying it. So, especially, I don't want to hear some, well, it says don't put foreign things into your body. You do that every day. You do that every day.
You really do.
Get out of here. Well, I don't know what's in this. Yet you'll take that edible your cousin made in his fucking basement. Get out of here. Like, shut up. So no, I'm not buying it, man. It's just an excuse. So yeah, no more negative COVID tests. Vaccine or nothing. Sorry. Oh, well, I want to go outside. Oh, well, I guess you'll have to get vaccinated, like a grown-up. So, yeah. Not fucking buying it. So, yeah, fuck Marjorie Taylor Greene specifically. I wrote this one. Rand Paul reveals just how large of a bag of excrement he and his wife are. Translation, him and his wife are two bags of shit. Rand Paul, son of Ron Paul, another fucking asshole. Is that guy dead? Is he dead?
No, he's not.
Fuck. Why not?
I don't think he's
dead. No, I don't think he is.
Hang on
either.
A second.
That's unfortunate. He should be. Dude. You want to talk about a crab rave? Oh, when he fucking kicks it? Hell yes. Hell yes. Oh my God. I am going to be fucking happy. Like.
Yeah, no, he's still kicking it at 85 years old.
Ow. God. Damn it.
He was in Congress until like 8 years ago.
Yeah. No, very, very recently. Very recently. Yeah. So yeah, Rand Paul, again, son of Ron Paul, young douchebag. He admitted that his wife 16 months ago bought stock in Gilead, which makes, what is it? What's the name of this fucking thing? I can never pronounce this correctly.
All I knew is it started with an R. That's the only thing I knew.
I literally looked up the pronunciation. We started.
It's remdesivir.
Remdesivir. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Okay.
Remdesivir. I think.
Remdesivir. Okay.
I think so. It's an asshole. An asshole came up with this name. It's awful.
Yes.
Oh, it's so fucking terrible to pronounce.
It's not even capitalized. Like it's not even a proper noun technically.
Yeah, get out of here.
Which is weird.
So she bought stock in Gilead that made this drug. And this is a drug that they use like, hey, I got COVID, shit's getting bad. Hey, why don't you try this? And maybe that'll help, right? Like it can help you, right? It's not a cure, but it can help to lessen the symptoms and like pull you through if you are for your suffering from COVID pretty badly. So he revealed this just recently. His wife bought $15,000 worth of stock in Gilead. They had not purchased any of the stock or like moved on any of that stock in 10 years. But all of a sudden.
For any individual company. So apparently he had only dealt in like mutual funds and government bonds and things like that. This is the first time in a decade that he bought stock in an individual company.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting.
Just so happened,
Brad.
To be 3 weeks before the WHO declared the coronavirus a world health crisis.
Yeah. So God knows how much money he's made on that, him and his wife. But the larger point here is he has been railing against how masks don't work.
Yes.
The more people get the more people who get coronavirus, the more people get hospitalized, the more people need this particular drug, the more money he makes.
Now, in fairness, though he did buy this stock in when he was basically getting classified information about the coronavirus, right? Because this is before everything kicked off in the U.S. And while it is very shady, because Rand Paul and I'm assuming his wife as well are idiots, the stock is actually worth less today.
Good.
Than it was when they bought it, and they haven't sold any of their shares.
Good.
So technically, if they do sell it right now, if it never rebounds, they will actually lose money on this deal, which is hilarious to me.
Good. Good. Great. But they should have never been allowed to buy it. One, you should not, as a congressman, be able to buy private stock.
No. Stop. Just stop the shit in the first place. Stop the shit in the first place.
But Brad, you know who believes that? You know who believes that Congress personnel should not be able to buy stock as a citizen?
Hang on. So I feel like –
Give me a little Kreskin the Magician here, Brad.
I feel like Rand Paul's past self probably believes that this is
That is correct. He's actually railed against it himself and saying how this is unacceptable and this is unfair. This is why I don't like him, because he is a hypocritical piece of shit.
But that's all. That's all Republicans, Jay.
Yes. Well, he's a libertarian, Brad.
That's pretty much true. Every Republican.
No, but he's a libertarian. It's different.
I've said it before on the show. I'll say it again. How pissed off are you right now if you're Tom Price?
Oh, Danny. Yeah.
again, because this is not the first. This is not the first time since Tom Price resigned because of an insider trading scandal that a congressman has been caught with his hand in the insider trading cookie jar.
He's like, but what about me?
He bailed too early. That was his problem. He didn't realize just how corrupt that administration was going to be, that he could have probably gotten away with.
Oh, 100%.
But he was the first one. And that was before he had completely lost all shreds of fucking scruples, I guess.
Yep.
And he's just like, I got to do the right thing. I'm embarrassing the administration.
Nah, bro.
I got to go. And then, like, he sees everything that fucking happens. Fuck.
Bro, there was no bottom. Like, there was no bottom.
I totally could have hung out.
Like, unless you put on a MAGA, like, a full MAGA outfit and storm the Capitol, there was no bottom. Like,
and even then.
Maybe not. Who knows? We're still finding out.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, like, again, Rand Paul getting classified briefings about how dangerous this pandemic is going to be, buy stock in a fucking treatment company. This should not be allowed to happen. This should be literally illegal.
Yeah. It absolutely should be illegal.
So someone floated like, look, if you don't want to bar them from trading in stocks while they're in office, which would admittedly be difficult to do, then force them to fucking put their money that they want to invest in a blind trust.
Yep.
And like basically and like an IRA essentially.
Yep.
For lack of a better term, that they are not allowed to have any input.
Well, I thought a blind trust is when you let your kids manage it. Is that not true?
Yes, that is how that's supposed to go. Your kids who you definitely not talk to about the business at all. That's, I don't know if you know, Jay, but when you put things in a blind trust, the important thing, the really important thing to do is to have a 1,000 manila folders that are just filled with blank pieces of paper and sit them on a table to show how blind that's how blind the trust is, Jay, is that all those papers were written
visible.
You can't even see them. That's how blind the trust
Dude,
is.
Dude, I'm telling you. I stand by my statement months ago on this. I would have done a pratfall right into those fucking folders. Oh shit. That's blank. What? Crazy. And somebody should have had the balls to do it. You gotta have the balls to do it, man. You gotta have the balls to do it. And like make it super obvious that you fell like on purpose. Like, whoa. It's just like, I'm sorry. Turns out all of this is bullshit. That was like his first week in the presidency, dude.
That was before he was the president.
Was it before he got inaugurated?
Yes, it was before.
Dude, that would have been a pretty good early scandal of like, because I would have made sure I'd be like, and these are the real documents. Yes, these are the real documents. Real documents. They'd be like, absolutely, these are real documents. I'd be like, bet, and I'd fall right into that shit.
I mean, that presentation was literally the fucking Principal Skinner, like Superintendent Chalmers, like what is going on in your kitchen? Aurora Borealis? Can I see it?
No. No, we call them steamed hams. Steamed hams? Even though they're not steamed. That is correct.
These are clearly grilled.
Oh, that's still a class. That's a classic episode of The Simpsons.
Here's my question. I know we've praised this guy a lot on this show specifically and in like the fan groups and things of that nature. I'm going to throw some shade on this guy. Rand Paul's neighbor. What the fuck were you doing, man? You obviously didn't do enough of a good job to keep this man down.
Oh, yeah.
Like two cracked ribs. Come on.
Yeah. No, I feel like you can, like, he's reading that news and he's like, all right, let me limber up here.
Here's what I wish. I wish that Rand Paul lived next door to Terry Tate, office linebacker. Like that's what I really hope that was.
I would be okay with that. Beep beep. Here comes the pain train.
can we elect Terry Tate, office linebacker, to be a senator so that he can fucking keep everybody in the Senate in line.
I would be 100% okay with that. Oh, my God. Hey, Janice.
Fuck Rand Paul, though.
You know you're supposed to have just solid TPS reports, Doug. I love that fucking video. It's so good.
I will never, like, I guess, like, right-wingers see how we are affectionate towards, like, you know, real progressives and kind of the same light. Man, fucking libertarians love to jerk off to Rand Paul. They fucking love him.
Why? Like
he's
sucks.
The fucking best. I have no idea. Because he does nothing.
He does nothing.
Like his job is to basically be a fucking troll in the government. And that's all they really want. They just want somebody who's going to fucking troll the shit out of everybody and be just a waste of space.
I don't get Kentucky. You have two senators and both of them, their entire job is getting nothing done or blocking everything. Why do you keep voting?
But you elected a Democratic governor.
Doesn't make sense to me. Nope. It doesn't, like, it quite literally doesn't make sense.
In the same election. Wait, was Beshear elected? Yeah, he was. I'm pretty sure Beshear was elected this year alongside Mitch McConnell. Am I correct about that?
I don't
that?
Think so. No.
I'm going to double check.
No, this. I don't think you are.
Andy Beshear.
No, I don't believe so. I think he was in the previous election.
Oh, no. Yeah, he was 2018. Yeah, you're right.
But, like, why are you putting those two ass clowns in to do nothing and then a governor who you want to do all the stuff? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I can almost understand Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, because he controls shit.
Getting elected. I just don't – I don't get, like, what's appealing. Like, how does Rand Paul, a guy who wouldn't even fucking sniff 30% in a primary in Republican states in the country
– yeah.
How the fuck does that dude win a statewide election in Kentucky?
Multiple times.
Yeah.
I assume it's because only horses and grass vote.
I'd have to imagine.
That's it.
I'd have to imagine.
Well, I mean, dude, I guess.
Too much bourbon drinking going on in Kentucky.
Or not enough. I don't know. However you want to look at it. It's one of the two. All right, let's get to this week in stupid and wrap up.
Oh Lord, this is great. This is a whole fucking thing. This whole story,
Brad. You're being rude. You're being rude. We have a guest, Mike Lindell's Cyber Symposium, sponsored by the crack industry, happened this week.
There's so much that happened in this thing. It's amazing.
Mike Lindell amazing. Literally had. That fucking sniveling prick from the Q Into the Storm documentary. What's his name? Last name is Watkins. I can't remember which one is the son. Ron Watkins was the dad. Ron Watkins there. He had Steve Bannon and the son of Brazilian president Jair Bolsonaro.
That's so fucking crazy.
At one point, the MyPillow CEO said that he was going to stay up for 72 hours during this cyber symposium. And I'm like, that's just a binge, dude. Like, you don't have to call it a cyber symposium. You're just fucking high. I used to have a guy who worked for me who was a cokehead. And he would come in on Monday mornings drained of all life forces because he had been up partying nonstop from Friday night all the way into probably Sunday night.
My favorite anecdote about Bolsonaro's son being there is that he gave Mike Lindell a MAGA hat that was signed by Trump, allegedly.
Signed by Trump and Bolsonaro.
Yeah, like I thought that Mike Lindell like was tight with Trump. Like I thought they were bros.
Nah. Trump was like, nah, fuck that guy. I don't even like his pillows. They're the worst. Yeah. So during this, by the way, they had said that, hey, we're going to do a we're gonna present all this information. We're gonna rock the world. Trump is gonna be reinstated on August 13th. That weirdly didn't happen. I'm shocked to know this. But they looked kind of foolish there. And then, if it couldn't get any sillier, Mike Lindell told a story. I could not find the clip. because I would play it if I could. Mike Lindell told a story of him at his hotel where these guys came up to him and were like, hey, can we take a picture with you? And he was like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, I'm very famous. And, you know, I'm the My Pillow guy. And one guy, like, put something in his rib and was like, yeah, you know, fucking take this picture. And he was like, they were threatening him. And he was like, he's pretty sure it was Antifa. That was the implication, is that it was clearly Antifa that was there to murder him and his wife. So, like, that happened. I hope that did happen. By the way,
his quote. I'm going to quote. I have that quote in front of you. By the way, some, what he said about this. So this is typical insurrection type activities. This is part of the color revolution.
The fuck does that mean?
Oh, I think you know what it means, Jay.
I don't like that implication at all.
Are you shocked that Mike Lindell would make that
implication? I am. I thought Mike Lindell was a man of the people.
Oh.
Is he not?
He's a man of the white people. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm desperately trying to find this clip of him telling the story. Dude, it's crazy.
Yeah. I think the clip is in this article that you have linked here, but just further down.
Oh, really?
It's linked inside a tweet from Justin Barangona.
Uh-oh, hold on.
If it is the tweet that you're referring to. While you're gathering that, the other great thing that fucking happened is that basically Mike Lindell got reports live and in real time while he was on stage about the Dominion lawsuit being allowed to proceed against him and all the fucking cracking assholes. He is so fucked, man. And he was fucking, and he basically had a world class hissy on the stage.
Yeah,
right.
Didn't he like leave the stage? He was just like,
yes, he did. He fled. He fled the stage.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm trying. All right, come on, man. Where's the attack? Come on, where is that fucking story? No, I don't see anything. Oh man, god damn it. Like it's a crazy story. It's so crazy that you cannot believe it. Which I think is reasonable because I don't. but yeah, good for him. How much money do you think he made out of this? Right, like
made? I think the better question is how much money did he lose?
Oh, you think he lost money? Yeah.
Oh, guaranteed. Like how many people showed up to this thing? Like I'm looking at pictures here.
Not a lot, like, Brad. It's not a lot.
At most, like maybe 50 people. Maybe.
But I mean, how many millions of people watched it around the world, Brad? I mean, hundreds?
there are dozens.
There are dozens of us. Dude, like I saw I think it was like a Colorado local news report about it, and they had like some guy who was there from Colorado, and he's like, yeah, I went and I was really hoping that he was going to show a lot of evidence. He didn't show anything. It's like,
yeah, apparently like he revealed the evidence on day two of the symposium, and then like when people realized that he had nothing, everyone left. This was like evidence that he touted as being so bulletproof that the Supreme Court was going to unanimously decide that this, like all the Trump should be the president. And then Biden was going to see that and be like, you got to know when to hold him and know when to
right.
hold him.
Like, by the way, I kind of slightly respect his crazy a little bit because in his insane scenario, he thinks that the evidence is so good that the Democrats, he's like, and this is why I think the news covers him, right? Because he's not like, the Democrats did it. He's like, no, Democrats are fine. The Chinese with the bamboo on the fucking thing. You know what I'm talking about. The Chinese, the Chinese hacked our election to screw over Trump. The Democrats didn't know. So when the Democrats see this evidence, they'll just be like, what? You know what? You're right, Mike Lindell. The guy who has a fledgling pillow company? Surely you have the right evidence, so we will step down. which is kind of cool, right? Like that he's trying to make it like everybody's cool, man. Everybody's cool. It was let's all come together and attack the Chinese, right? Like he's not trying to like divide the country. He's a uniter, if you will. Like he's like we need to all come together and realize that Donald Trump was cheated by the Chinese. And when Joe Biden sees this information, he's such a good man, that Joe Biden, that he will relinquish power to Donald Trump. Do you think Donald Trump believes that he will be reinstated as president?
No.
I don't think he believes that either.
Unless he is so stupid. And again, I don't think he's
okay, watch your statement.
I think the one thing he always has been is a savvy like media operator.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like he knows how to push the buttons. But he's also able to be talked into things when it strokes his ego.
Yeah.
I don't think that he truly does think, though, that he will ever be just he'll try to run again, probably. But I don't think that he thinks he's just going to be like placed into the presidency in any way, shape or form. He's just trying to keep those fires stoked, baby.
I think that's largely true. I'm also looking at BuzzFeed's article of the 82 stupid things from the Trump era you probably forgot about. He did yell at a kid named Pickle while cutting the grass. That happened once.
we can't forget that because that meme got used all the time whenever it was him just like, you know, yelling about something stupid. So
can you fix the economy?
I'm surprised you didn't put the other This Week in Stupid Story on the docket, where apparently Tucker Carlson has gone just full fascist.
You never
go full fascist, but Tucker's like, you know what, Viktor Orban, that's my dude.
Yeah, they were vacationing together.
Yeah.
Wow. By the way,
he literally did a week of shows in Hungary and was basically on his show. Tucker Carlson was talking about how fucking awesome Hungary was.
Like, okay, guys. Like, wow. So yeah, that is a thing, right? And I think. Look, I don't know how Tucker Carlson feels about anything for real, besides like getting vaccinated, which he definitely did. Like, get the fuck out of here. If you believe he's not vaccinated, you're insane. That dude is not going maskless, unvaccinated, at a bait shop in Montana. That is not a thing. He's worth way too much money.
Well, here's a real question. Because again, I don't think Tucker Carlson's a stupid person.
He's not.
I
really don't. He's not. He's a piece of shit, but he's not stupid.
Is he truly the most morally bankrupt, craven person walking in these United States right now?
No, Donald Trump is.
You think so? I don't know. Like, I really think that fucking making a right turn and telling all your viewers how fucking awesome the proto-fascist government of Hungary is compared to the United States is pretty fucking craven.
Craven. And it is craven. And look, I will prove you right. Right. Which is, I don't think that he actually believes that. I think that it's, you know, it's, it gets him talked about, right? Like, but I also think there's another thing. I think here's a deeper cut into what I think is going on with Tucker Carlson. So take my hot take for what it is. Nonsense, right? I don't know. I think that this week we saw that dude hand over all of that information and photos and shit about Greenberg. Joel Greenberg hand over all those photos and shit to the FBI that implicates Matt Gaetz and all of this shit. Matt Gaetz trying to implicate Tucker Carlson and shit in that interview a number of months ago. And then Tucker Carlson a little bit before that coming out and saying, the FBI is looking into me, you know, all that, like generating all that just throwing shit at the fan, right? To like, are they looking at him? And then the FBI came out and was like, we're looking into whether someone was looking into you, but we don't think they were. And like, and so they kind of took the bait, right? Which was stupid. They shouldn't have ever even said anything about it. I think all of this is trying to whip the right up into a frenzy around him to work as a shield for what is possibly coming.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right? I think if you say the Viktor Orbán thing, like, well, they didn't like what I said about this, so they're attacking me, right? Like, they, you know, I think it's throw is, you know, what's the Steve Bannon quote? Like basically fill the system with shit, right? Like, throw out as much as you can of like hard right wing shit. The right will solidify themselves around you. So then whenever the FBI comes at you or you get implicated with a Gates shit, all of that, they'll be like, Tucker's innocent. He's our guy. And they've already got a shield up behind him or in front of him.
So look, I want to be very clear. I'm not saying this. I'm just inferring it from what you're saying, because you didn't say this either. I'm inferring it from what you said, but you think Tucker Carlson's a pedophile. That's what you're saying. I'm inferring it. You're not saying it. I'm inferring it, but I didn't say it either.
Okay.
But Tucker Carlson is definitely a pedophile.
What I am saying is I agree with your inference. I am saying that I agree with your inference. I'm not saying that your inference is correct. I'm saying that I agree with your inference. No, I don't know if the guy is a pedophile. I don't. Considering it's a GOP, I wouldn't be fucking shocked. I really wouldn't be shocked.
I think he's trying to block himself.
I think he is.
That actually, that's not a bad theory.
Yeah. I think all of it is just to solidify himself as the guy to be victimized by the deep state or by the system. I think that's exactly what
it is. Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
So let's assume that, just hypothetical, that something does come out that implicates him in some way, shape, or form with Matt Gaetz. Does Fox News keep him on the air while he's fighting with this?
Depends on how hard that evidence is, dude. If that evidence is like, here's a picture, like, no, Fox can't even hold that. They can't.
Like, you know, is Paul Ryan going to take people going to him on the street and be like, hey, Paul Ryan, why do you support pedophiles? Like, you're letting the pedophile be on the air.
I feel like if the evidence is significant enough, I think they drop him. But it's got to be significant. He's their fucking cash cow right now. It's got to be significant. But that's my theory. It's not even that wild a theory. But it's not a theory that I've seen anywhere.
It really isn't, because how many people? I mean, what that one dude? I don't even remember what the fuck he did. I think he was a staffer somewhere. But like that one dude just got brought up on, you know, child trafficking charges.
Yep.
That was like a Republican dude that you see in pictures with all these important Republican figures. Like, that seems awkward.
And also, like, the head of the college Republicans in whatever state he was from, she was also implicated in that. They fucking tossed her ass, too. And look, shout out to those college Republicans. They wrote a letter. They were like, we are disgusted by her behavior. Like, they didn't even try to be like, well, maybe. They were like, nope, good day. Get the fuck out of here. So, but I don't know. Like, and Tucker coming, look. Again, Tucker is a very smart guy. He's a piece of garbage, but he's not dumb. For him to come out and say, hey, the FBI is investigating me. Oh, they're trying to come after me illegally. Da, 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 da. Why would you say that? You're railing against them to try to delegitimize them. So if something does come down the pipe, people can go, see, Tucker was right. That's what that feels like to me. And the Orbán thing, it feels like more of that. It's just solidifying the right's incessant ability to like just like circle the wagons when it comes to a guy that they think is like their guy.
Well, and again, my favorite bit of the Orbán week that he fucking did was, again, if any of the people that fucking watch his show or around him had any fucking common sense at all, like, this would give the game away. The fact that the government, that Tucker Carlson was talking about how fucking awesome it was compared to how restrictive the American government is.
Right.
In the portion of the interview, like in his interview that aired in Hungary, they cut out the portion where Tucker Carlson was critical of China. Because Hungary and China are trying to cozy up to one another right now, and Hungary didn't want that shit out there.
Yep.
to get the Chinese mad at them.
Yep.
That's how fucking free the press is in Viktor Orban's Hungary.
Yeah.
That's so much better than it is in America that Tucker Carlson is trying to tell everybody. Oh no, this is the way it is. I literally had part of my interview cut out in Hungary because it was critical of the Chinese government, who I also hate, but Hungary does not.
So, you know, I'm cool with it.
But I'd much rather live here than in fucking
then move.
America, let me tell
then
you.
Then move.
Yeah, please. Well,
who is stopping you? You think your wife and kids want to move to Hungary? I doubt it. I doubt it.
Does my Swanson money come with me? No.
Oh, man. No more rubles. Yeah. So
how will I buy bow ties?
No, he doesn't wear bow ties anymore. That was
not anymore.
No, that's when he was just a douchebag. Now he's a full on authoritarian prick. So, you know, he's got regular ties, big Trump ties. Right. All right. I think that is it for us, Brad. That was a very good episode. Some pretty, hefty stories. So, any parting words before we get out of here? Any predictions? Is, Matt Gaetz going to jail this week, Brad?
No. No, I don't think Matt Gaetz is going to go to jail at all, unfortunately, even though he really fucking should. But unfortunately, a lot of our politicians, including ones that don't have executive protections, are able to use their office to shield them from a lot of accountability. So it's kind of where we're at right now. Doesn't help when you have people like, you know, here comes Andrew Cuomo and stories coming out about him. And he's like, all right, you got me. I'm going to resign. And then the fucking AG's office is like, well, you know, we're not going to pursue anything now because he's leaving anyway. So fuck out of here.
Oh, did they say that? And
yeah, pretty
that's
much
bullshit. Fuck that.
Yep.
No, you should pursue it. I mean, look, they wanted him out, but like, dude, you sexually harass people. Like, right. That's a crime. Like,
but that's the kind of shit that perpetuates this. It keeps on going. Like if the only punishment that people in power have to pay is losing their office, then we're never going to deter anything, because the most unscrupulous among us will basically smash and grab and get in the door and take everything they can before the cops show up, and then they're fucking out the door.
Yep.
with all the spoils.
Absolutely.
So,
and that's what I'll be doing on Friday night, everybody. go Cuomo. No, I agree. People have to, like, I mean, I don't know that Andrew Cuomo needs to go to jail for what he did. That seems a little excessive. Although the, you know, the nursing home scandal probably deserves that. But he should certainly, like, get hit with fines or some shit. Like, something.
Well, and it just we have to get out of this mentality as a country of not of again, ironically, the show name. Like, we can't keep doing this look forward bullshit anymore.
Yeah.
Like, we have to make sure we're investigating the crimes of past administrations. You don't do it as a cudgel. You do it independently. You do it with, you know, and you do it judiciously, but you can't just fucking move on past that shit. And again, if you're worried about your people being investigated, then keep your fucking noses clean and that's keep it. Your own house clean.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Absolutely. I agree. So my only prediction is there will be more Tucker Carlson shit this week. There will be more.
That sucks.
I know. I don't like seeing his face. It's awful.
No.
It's the worst.
Who could have ever imagined that, like, arguably the most rational person in the Fox News right wing fucking, you know, Nazi fucking rock block that they have every weeknight is Sean Hannity.
Oof. The titan of reality. The man who killed Alan Combs personally.
With his bare hands.
With his bare fucking nerd. Now, Alan Combs actually died of cancer, I believe, which is kind of
sad. I think you're right.
Which was sad, because that guy was reasonable and smart, and then Sean Hannity just looked like American Dad and was a fucking asshole. The worst. All right. That's it for us. We will see you guys next time.
See ya.